Good morning, everyone. Shall we begin? We welcome everyone to this third Sunday in Advent service this morning. And we include in that welcome those who are watching the live streaming and those who may be watching the recording later on in the week. You're all very welcome. Now, Stephen always said he liked notices because it meant the church was alive. Well, if that is true, the church is very alive this morning. So listen up. First of all, I'm told that the Renew Wellbeing group will meet this Monday as usual, but after that, not again until the 13th of January. I'm also told that the services next week, morning and evening, and also the service on Christmas Day, will all be live streamed. So if you're not able to come because you're getting the turkey ready, you can still watch it at home. I want then thirdly to remind you about these leaflets that we're giving out. These contain a message from Pastor Stephen and an invitation to our Christmas services. There's still quite a few left in a box over there. And if you haven't had any, please do take some and distribute them to your friends, family, neighbours, or whatever. And we'd be very grateful for that. I wonder how many of you can remember the date of your baptism. Some are nodding, some are shaking their heads. Well, Suzanne Worthington tells me it's 40 years today since she was baptized. So well done, Sue. And well done for remembering the date as well. And finally, you may have noticed that over the last week or so, certain things have changed in this sanctuary. Lots of things have suddenly appeared. And Debbie's going to come and tell us all about that and why this is happening and about the nativity service next Sunday morning.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Can you all hear? Yes. Good. Okay. So, yes, things have been appearing. We now have a menagerie. We have signs around the church. You might have even noticed that you can be pointed in the right direction for Bethlehem in the corner there. So we thought you would like to know who has been involved with this. So the Girls Brigade did the four signs by the windows. The Anchor Boys, which is the smaller boys at the beginning of a Friday afternoon, Friday evening, they did Light of the World. Children's work on Sundays have been making animals, and today they've got some more craft work to do because we need some angels. And there's a little working group, but it's particularly Sue and Claire and Angela and Dawn who are dressing the sanctuary and working towards next weekend for our Nativity, for our carol service, and then, of course, Christmas Day. So I just thought it would be really lovely for you to know this is an all-age project, which is really important. But next Sunday morning, it's our Nativity. And as always, we are looking for some volunteers. You'll be pleased to know people have already volunteered for some speaking parts. So it's just taking part, perhaps wearing a costume and joining in, that's required for volunteers, please. We need a Mary. We need a Joseph. We need some angels, big and small. A donkey who doesn't need to dress up. You'll be pleased to know. Only one. An innkeeper. We need two shepherds at least. We've got one already. We need two more wise men or women. And the pièce de résistance, if anybody would like to play Herod. It's a great part to play. So I've got a sign-up sheet here. And obviously, it's just about taking part. It's a very simple, relaxed service. It would be lovely to have people, perhaps who've never been involved, having a go this year. You're most welcome. All right. So what I'll do is I'll put it into the Crosslink Centre at coffee time. And if people could sign up. And once we've seen if there are any gaps, I might come and bend some arms. Richard.
And just to reassure anybody, you haven't got to take the clothes off or anything. Just something over the top.
Thank you, Richard, for that reassurance. God bless you all. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll begin our time of worship. And David, if you would come forward, please.
Good morning, everybody. And I'd like just to add to our earlier welcome, Pastor Stephen and Leslie and Pete and Maria and Sophia and Jesse. Shall we give them a round of applause? So, it's the third Sunday in Advent. Now then, the teacher in me says, what's Advent? Could somebody help me out? What is Advent? You can either be older or younger, I don't mind who you are. What is Advent?
Looking forward.
Good. Looking forward. And what? Who are we looking forward for or to?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. From the beginning of history, God calls us, his people, to be a people waiting for the coming of his promised Son. Our world can be a dark place, but these candles are pictures of the lights God has sent through history to prepare for his Son, the light of the world. Now then, back to teacher mode. Can anybody remember what the first candle reminds us of? The first candle. The patriarchs. Excellent. Yes, the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, 4,000 years ago. What's the second candle remind us of? Or who? The prophets, that's right. Perhaps 2,500 years ago or so. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. Now then, here's the hard one. Can you remember from last year? What or who does the third candle remind us of? Oh, well done. John the Baptist. Now that's quite recent, just before the birth of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us about him in John's Gospel. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And I've asked Connie if you could like to come and help light three candles. Well, you come to the front. Well done. You're very, very good. Excellent. So what I ask you to do, if you hold the taper, and then I'll endeavour to light it, and then if you could light three of the outside candles, okay? That's fine. Wonderful. Round of applause for Connie. Together. Holy Lord, thank you for all the lights you send into our dark world. In particular, this morning, we thank you for John the Baptist, who came to prepare people for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, David. Well done, Connie. Let's welcome the Lord into our midst with these words. Advent, God, we worship you, the God who comes. You are not remote from the world you have made, but each day you come to us, blessing us with your presence. You came in creation itself as your Spirit moved over the waters of chaos. You came in Jesus Christ, made flesh in our world of weakness and need. You came in power to raise him from death, a mighty promise for all creation. Each day you come by your Spirit, gently and powerfully working in the lives of women and men. At the end of time you will come in power and righteousness, in mercy and redeeming love. Grant us the grace to welcome your coming. Inflame our love to yearn for your presence. Enlarge our vision to recognize your coming day by day. We greet you, Advent God. Let's stand, if you are able, and sing together the lovely Advent carol, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Some special prayers for Advent. Let us pray. We must give account of our stewardship. Let us ask forgiveness for our sin and failure. Lord, we confess we have not used your gifts wisely. Forgive us for being unprofitable. In your mercy, hear us and help us. Lord, we have not kept brightly burning the light you entrusted to us. Forgive us for being unprepared. In your mercy, hear us and help us. Lord, we have sometimes ended the day in anger or bitterness, Forgive us for being unrepentant. In your mercy, hear us and help us. Renew our vision. Restore our watchfulness. Make us faithful as you are faithful, that when you come in glory, we may hear you say, enter into the joy of your Lord. Lord Jesus, whose advent all shall see, let your coming be with triumph, but not to our shame. Let your coming be with glory, but not to our surprise. Let your coming be with judgment, but not to our judgment. Make our love burn bright for you, our loyalty endure, and your faith increase, that with you we may rejoice on that day, and so enter into your eternal kingdom. Amen. We'll stand and sing, Jesus Shall Take the Highest Honour, and it's only short, so I suggest we sing this through twice. Part of our worship is the bringing of our monetary gifts. So we're going to take up our offering now. I know there are many church members who give in different ways these days, so that's fine. If you are a visitor this morning, there's no obligation for you to give, but if you want to give, then that's fine. Thank you. Father, you are such a wonderful and generous God. None more so than when you sent your son Jesus into our world as a baby to live as one of us. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus' life, for his example, and for his sacrifice upon the cross. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray that this money may be used so that more people may come to learn about your love and receive the wonderful news of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Now, our children, if we have children, yes, we have children. I can see them. I can see Connie and I can see Sophia. I can't quite see. Oh, there you are. So, you're going upstairs with Angela and Dawn, I understand. And Angela, what are you going to be talking about?
Angels.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Angels.
Angels. Oh, right. Okay. Well, we'll let you go on your way and we'll pray for you as you go. Thank you, Lord, for these children in our midst, these wonderful young people. We pray they'll have a lovely time this morning with Angela and Dawn and learn much more, Lord, about you. And in particular this morning, about angels, Lord. Just grant them a time of blessing, we pray. Amen. Well, the rest of us are not going to be learning about angels this morning, as far as I know, Mark. We're going to be learning about shepherds. And so it's probably time of year when we ought to sing "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." So shall we stand up and sing that together? while we're looking forward to Christmas and the things that we should be doing, starting from next weekend, the meals we shall enjoy, the company we shall keep, there are many of our sisters and brothers across the world who will not be enjoying those things because they will be part of what we call the persecuted church. And I've asked Peter if he will come this morning and lead us in some prayers for the persecuted church. And then when Peter's done that, we will open it up for intercessory prayers, which you can speak out loud if you wish, including, of course, our continued prayers for Stephen. Peter.
Let us pray. Lord, as we welcome this wonderful season of Christmas, we remember our fellow Christians in many countries where their joy is mixed with fear and apprehension. They know full well that Christmas is a time when they are likely to be targeted because there will be large gatherings of Christians, and the forces of darkness have no wish to see anyone celebrate your coming. We ask that you would grant your people your blessing and protection and stay the hand of those who would cause them harm. Lord, we are thankful that we do not experience persecution to any real degree in this country. But help us to be mindful of those for whom it is very different. In our gratitude, please show us how we can help them. For example, by our prayers and our giving. And help us to remember that persecuted Christians are members of our worldwide Christian family, and that these are your children just as much as we are. We remember that you knew what it was like to suffer persecution. We pray for the work of those organizations which do so much to help and support persecuted Christians, including Release International, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Barnabas Fund, Humanitarian Aid Relief Trust, Open Doors, and others. Please give their staff your guidance and inspiration so that they can do all in their power to help those in great need. And Lord, if you want us to support any of these organizations, please speak to our hearts. We pray particularly for the launch of the Open Doors World Watch List 2025 at Westminster on the 15th of January. Thank you that dozens of MPs have already agreed to attend, and we pray that many more will do so, including our two local MPs, Steve Darling, Torbay, and Caroline Bowden for South Devon. We pray that as MPs learn about the top 50 countries, including Syria, where it is most difficult and dangerous to be a Christian, that they will be moved to do all they can to help and support the persecuted church. Lord, we thank you for the courage and the faithfulness of brothers and sisters who suffer because of their commitment to you. Please bless them at this Christmas time, and may they be able to celebrate your coming in joy and in peace. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. Let's continue to pray now for those for whom we have a particular concern, knowing that we are speaking to a God who not only hears our prayers and listens to us, but a God who answers our prayers.
Bring Stephen, your good and faithful servant, back to us again this Sunday to be with us, to share in this church family, Lord. You know how precious he is to us. And Lord, you understand my frustrations and my impatience at his healing, Lord, but it's in your time, not ours. And you know the plan you have for Stephen and his family, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we can just come to this church and see us home amongst our friends. We thank you, Lord, that we can worship you freely. And we do ask you to bless this family here and all the people that come at Christmas or just this morning. I'm hoping my son's going to come, but time will tell. But thank you, Lord, for all the people you bring each day. We pray that they may feel welcomed and they may learn something of you and go out feeling blessed. And this I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you say that not a single sparrow falls to the ground without you seeing it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, that you notice each one. Mm-hmm. Each one of us here today. Mm-hmm. You notice what's going on. Mm-hmm. No one else spots what's really happening. You do. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Lord, that you care about us. And that's why you say, cast all your cares upon me. And Lord, I pray that we would be good noticers too. I pray that we would listen and learn the way you do. Thank you, Lord, for what we've learned in these past weeks in our family about the value of listening, of really listening, and noticing what's going on. And I pray that as a family, as a church family, and as a church community in this bay, we will be good listeners and noticers, so that people know that you really care, because your body shows it.
Amen. Amen. We pray also for David Redway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those who have spoken now for several weeks and maybe months. And I understand from Valerie this morning that he's felt a little bit better this morning. But Lord, we know that you're continuing your healing in his life. And we pray that over the next few days and weeks, he will return full health and strength, and return back to us here in the church. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.
And Father, we thank you for the blessing of Blessed Church that we had yesterday, bringing all those families to us, and Lord, for all the children. Thank you for those that have done that, Lord.
And Lord, we pray for all those that are suffering only because they turn to you, Lord. But also remind us that we are free to speak your word, because in other places they are not. Lord, may we use every opportunity to speak about what you have done for us. Because in some other countries, Lord, they're not allowed to. So Lord, remind us and give us that opportunity through your Holy Spirit to tell others about the wonderful things you have done for each and every one of us as individuals, because in some places that isn't allowed. Amen.
Well, there are so many more we could pray for. You know the needs of everyone, all those that we care about. We would include Mark Ryan in our prayers, Lord, who's been waiting a long time for hospital results, that you'll grant him your healing too. So hear all these prayers which we offer in the powerful and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in a moment or so, Louise is going to bring us today's Bible reading, and Mark is coming to bring God's word to us after that. But in preparation for that, let's sing, Lord, I come before your throne of grace.
Lord, I come before.
come on over here, please. No running away. Lord, we love your word. It has so much to teach us. Thank you for your living word, the Lord Jesus. Be with us as we listen to your word just now. Give it fresh meaning to us, Father. And will you anoint Mark's lips, fill him with your Holy Spirit, that it may be as though you are speaking to us yourself this morning. Amen.
This morning's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16, which is on page 1027 of the Church Bibles. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Morning, church family.
Good morning.
Who can remember, as far back as last Sunday, remember what David spoke about? Blah. An unusual king. Thank you. An unusual king. We're going to continue to unpack the Advent story today. And we're going to be thinking about an unlikely invitation. An unlikely invitation. 21 years ago, next month, I received an unlikely invitation. In fact, we received an unlikely invitation. I'd been working for a UK-based company for just 2 months, and they invited us to move to America. Asked us to go for 2 years. I was asked to run a new business that they'd just acquired. It was an unlikely invitation on a number of fronts. One, I'd only been with the company 2 months, so it was a very sudden change in direction. But more so, you know, our kids were 5, 8, and 11, so, you know, fairly critical juncture education-wise. We were heavily involved in church leadership. So, of course, you go into the, "Oh, but who else could do that, Lord?" And Lou's mum was recovering from cancer. And so, you know, there was this assumption that she would need her daughter. But we agreed to weigh it and pray it. And we came to a place of peace about it and felt we should do it. And I think what swung it in some ways was Lou's mum saying, "Oh, you must go." I think that's because she wanted to come for lots of holidays in the in the US. In fact, we saw more of her when we were living in the States than when we were here. But it was very much a question or a case of God knows what he's doing. When he makes an invitation that seems unlikely, it's because he knows what he's doing. So off we went, and it proved to be a really significant time for us. Probably the 10 years before that, I'd been traveling a lot on business. So it's not that I never saw my kids, but I didn't spend that much time with them. And we found that life in the US is actually very family-centric. And so not only with the not traveling, it was a great time for us as a family, really quality time. You know, the sort of learnings you make culturally and socially when you move to another country are quite significant as well. Tony and I have talked about this from their time when they were we're abroad. You learn stuff and God develops you. But perhaps most significantly, our life in church circles in the US was a chance to just see God working in ways that were outside our comfort zone. They weren't our norm. They weren't our, you know, experience of church. And God taught us through that. Did we come back different people? Not really. It was still us. But we were changed and we were prepared for what God had for us in the 21 years that followed, that puts us here this morning. And so we're going to think about an unlikely invitation that's in the Advent story this morning. There are actually quite a few, if you think about it. So, you know, a teenage girl who was having a relatively normal life, one imagines, invited to become the mother of the Saviour of the world. A group of distant wise men, magi, kings, whatever we want to think of them as, who were invited to come and worship the newborn king and change the way they thought about worship. But perhaps the most unlikely invitation was this ragtag bunch of shepherds looking after sheep on the hills outside Bethlehem. They're visited by a host of angels, and they're invited to be the first people to go and discover the Saviour of the world lying in a manger. You know, each one of these unlikely stories ended in a transformation. You know, the life of Mary, her purpose was transformed, to put it mildly. You know, the Magi, their worship was transformed as a result of seeing the newborn king. And the shepherds' priorities were substantially changed as well. So we're going to think about them. I have 3 points. I will explain to you why there are 3 points sometime. I firstly want to think about this unlikely people, this group of shepherds. You know, when you think about the word shepherd, there'll be images that come to mind. I'm going to show you a few. If we could, Joan, run the first. Watch very carefully for this shepherd. Also known as the child whisperer, that can stop a screaming toddler at 2 paces, stops a herd of sheep. Unlikely people. The next image is perhaps, if we could go to the next slide, Joan, is perhaps more what you have in mind that's conjured up by the idea of shepherd. Could we put the next one on? You're probably thinking of some romantic ideal of, you know, somebody sitting under a tree with a crook and sunshine and green pastures. Have we got that picture or not? It won't come up. So my daughter-in-law's father is a Kent sheep farmer. That's what you're looking at there. His sheep his herd of sheep. It's not very romantic, you know. It's not a very idyllic setting. It's quite lonely. It can be quite cold. It's very messy. So we need to challenge that image of the sort of pastoral ideal in some ways. Of course, many of the Bible's great characters were shepherds, weren't they? You know, so we've thought about, you know, patriarchs and into the time of the prophets this morning with our candles. You know, the likes of Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, what were they? They were shepherds. They had their experience of lonely, cold, dirty shepherding, I'm sure. And yet, when Jacob migrated down to Egypt, we start to see this clash of the world of shepherding and the world of arable farming. Yeah. And the life of a shepherd became harder and harder because if you weren't a sheep farmer but you were a crop farmer, you hated sheep farmers because their sheep just destroyed your crops. And so as a profession, it started to sink lower and lower. There was one quick aside, one prophetic exception. Of course, about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, there was somebody called David. David, of course, was a shepherd boy, and yet he emerged as a king, which kind of boosted the image of shepherding, if you think about it. You know, the lowliness of his trade made his appointment as king and his coronation quite a striking promotion. He was the first shepherd king. You know, there's a prophetic foreshadowing there, isn't there? Jesus was the son of David. He's referred to in many of the Gospels in that way. He was the first shepherd king, foreshadowing Jesus as shepherd king. It's interesting that at the time of, around the time of Jesus' birth, and of course, 1,000 years before, David had been prolific in his psalm writing, including Psalm 23, and said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Again, a prophetic statement. Around Jesus' birth, I read of one Jewish historian, and I'm quoting. He said, "The rabbis ask with amazement how, in view of the despicable nature of shepherds, one can explain why God was called my shepherd in Psalm 23. That's the sort of tension in this idea of shepherding. Of course, the church emerged from, you know, Jesus' resurrection, ascension, and we started to get a much more positive image of shepherds, to the extent that pastors were called pastors. You know, Jesus said to Peter, didn't he, "Feed my sheep." Jesus himself, of course, said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." The writer to the Hebrews refers to Christ as the great shepherd. Peter himself calls Jesus the chief shepherd. So a much more positive image. But let's get back to the Christmas, the Advent story. We've said shepherding had become quite menial. It was second class. They were really seen as untrustworthy people. They couldn't fulfill judicial offices. They couldn't be admitted in court as a witness. And of course, the Jews had many things, didn't they, that they were prohibited from making contact with. Think about it, the life of a shepherd. Animals died in the fields. These delightful, white, fluffy things, if you've walked across any fields around here with sheep, they poop everywhere, right? It was a messy business. And so with this culture of cleanliness, lots of cleaning rituals to be observed, shepherds didn't have a hope. They were never clean. They were touching dead stuff and, let's say, dung featured quite heavily in their lives. Yeah, because of their unclean condition, they could not easily go to temple because they couldn't observe the cleanliness requirements. And to a Jew at that time, the temple was where God was. It's as simple as that. It was God's dwelling place on earth. If you couldn't go there, you couldn't meet with God. The shepherds couldn't join with worship. They were not invited. All of which, as I say, in human terms, makes them the most unlikely recipients of going as witnesses to this transformational, earth-shattering event. Of all the people that you would have on your list of invitees, it isn't them. They wouldn't make the reserve list. So they're an unlikely people. The invitation itself, therefore, move on to the second point of three, the unlikely invitation. Now, because they were typically being excluded from temple worship, because they couldn't meet with God, what does God do? God sends worship to them. That's what we just sang about. And it's not just any old worship, is it? A choir of angels and quite a light show. Quite a light show. What was being revealed, of course, was God's glory. Yeah, there's a Hebrew word for it. It's called Shekinah. Shekinah. I always remember it because it rhymes with Shina. Shina, Shekinah. Yeah, up to this point, as we said, the usual place for God's glory was in the temple or the tabernacle before that. Yeah, we read in 2 Chronicles 7, after David's son, Solomon, has built the temple that David didn't get to build, there's a dedication ceremony. And his prayer, you should go back and read it, 2 Chronicles 7, talks about the glory of the Lord filling the temple. And yet his prayer says, Lord, this is just a building. You know, your glory cannot be contained by the heavens, by the universe. You're more than that. You're bigger than that. And yet, you know, we see God accommodating the limits of man's mind by appearing in the temple and by saying, this will be my dwelling place, because that's what people could get their heads around. But here on this Bethlehem hillside, we suddenly see temple is everyday life. Temple is my workplace to these shepherds' experience. It's not about a building. You know, when we as church think about an invitation, when we think about inviting people, perhaps at Christmas, you know, we've talked about the Jesus Light of the World invitations. We sometimes fall into that trap of thinking we're inviting them to a building. We're not. We're inviting them to a community. That's what you are this morning. Church is community. It's people. That's the invitation. We're inviting people to wherever you are. Home, shops, offices, schools, playgrounds. And God's glory is now seen anywhere, not just in a temple, not just a tabernacle. It was so restricted. It wasn't just the temple, it was the Holy of Holies. It was a building within a building. That's where God's glory sat. That's where it appeared. And it's not like everybody could see it. Once a year, one priest got to go into the Holy of Holies. The Day of Atonement was the only chance that man got to interact with God's glory. And of course, they lived in fear that they weren't coming out. They used to tie a rope to the priest's ankle so they could pull him out if he died in God's presence. And yet here in these fields outside Bethlehem, God's chosen to reveal his glory to a bunch of ragtags who struggled to get into the temple because they weren't clean enough. You know, we get a sign here, don't we, of what Jesus coming down to earth was going to be about. He would travel to down-to-earth places where unclean sinners lived. Unclean sinners who he would make an equally unlikely invitation to. He'd go to the lost and the lonely, to the leper, the prostitute, the tax collector, even lowly shepherds. You see, Jesus says, I'll meet anyone, anywhere. You just need to reach out to me. And his father is effectively God saying, so the world says you're not worthy to come to me. I'll come to you. That's Advent. I'll come to you. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, those that the world is ready to label as unclean, unacceptable, are invited to worship in a temple that looked like an animal shelter. That's the Advent message. It was a place, that hillside, and this manger in an animal shelter was something they'd be really comfortable and familiar with. They were being invited to discover the Savior of the world in their workplace. You know, and this message, the message that, you know, God's invitation is for everybody, including those that we might think don't deserve it, who might be unworthy of it, it's still relevant today, isn't it? It's still needed today. today. You know, the unlikely invitation isn't just an unlikely group of people. It's about unlikely places. It's the most ordinary, everyday, down-to-earth temples that are your lives. Wherever you are. Can you imagine God breaking in this way into the office, the home, the school, the playground? Whatever, wherever. However ordinary you feel this morning, God invites you to be part of his story for the world. Isn't that astonishing? Lastly, then, we thought about the unlikely people, an unlikely invitation. There's a bunch of unlikely transformations that happen as well here. Ordinary lives transformed. What were the shepherds like when they're on that hillside at the beginning of this encounter? There's nothing about them there and then, before the encounter, worshipping God. There's nothing, we live in a hilltop with dark skies, and we often go out and wonder at the universe above us. The shepherds weren't doing that. They weren't out there in the fields going, oh God, you're fabulous, you're amazing, you've pulled. They're worrying about wolves and, you know, keeping the sheep safe. It's unlikely that they ever tended to interact in that place with God in the way that they then did. There's no suggestion that that was the case. But look at them now. Look at them after the encounter. They go to this animal shelter. They find it just as the angel had told them. And now they're thinking, who can we tell about this? How can we best praise God? It tells us they returned. They went back to the fields and they weren't the same again. They were praising and glorifying God. They went out just after the passage we read, so it's verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Transformed. So what do we conclude from all of this? I think there's encouragement and there's challenge for us this morning. You know, the encouragement is God can step right in to your temple, into your life, into your workplace, your everyday space, and you're invited to receive him there. So it's encouraging, but it's also challenging. You know, there's a challenge that we have to accept that invitation. Invitations are no good until you RSVP and do something with it, are they? They're just theoretical at the point of invitation. We have to respond. And yeah, time is short. There's priority and urgency needed in our response. You know, we need to speak and act in a way that invites others to come and share this experience, this down-to-earth God. You know, my prayer this morning is that, you know, God will shine his glory into each of our lives and that we will respond to that encouragement. We will respond to the challenge. That we don't just see this invitation as for us, but it's for everyone that we come into life with, that we would be attractive, glorifying in whatever limited way is possible, but reflecting the glory of God in our lives, because the invitation is for each of us this morning. You're going to get a chance to respond now. There's a video, it's a lyric video. Some of you might know the song, but it just seemed to fit perfectly for response this morning. You're going to watch a lyric video of people listening to this particular song for the first time, and you're going to watch them respond. These are people, my understanding in terms of the backstory, people from the church involved that had gone through bereavement, loss of child, separation. They were facing everyday realities and the toughness of life. And just let these words minister to you and think about this challenge to be encouraged and to respond to the invitation.
That's the second time that I've listened to that. I find it one of the most moving experiences. What a wonderful song, what wonderful promises. It may have touched your hearts for one reason or another. Let's just spend a moment or two just reflecting upon that, particularly the closeness of God to us. And if you feel moved by the Spirit to speak out a word or offer a prayer, then please do. Father, we thank you for the assurance that we don't need to go into a special place to meet with you, but that you have come down to live with us. And you are close to us, and all we need to do is get close to you. Lord, whatever our circumstances this morning, however we relate to what Mark has said or what that singer has just sung, Lord, you are for us. And you love us, and we're so very, very grateful. And this is what we celebrate, what we will celebrate at Christmas, that Christ came from heaven, where he was in the company of angels, to be born as one of us in awful conditions. What love is that? That is the most amazing love there is. Thank you. Amen. We invite you to sing a closing song. The Lord's My Shepherd in the more modern Townend version. If you would like to stand with me. Thank you, Eileen.
Oh,
Please be seated. There are some wonderful angels who have appeared on the stage here. Please do have a look at those before you go. And thank you, children, for what you've produced this morning. It's absolutely beautiful. Okay. Let's stand and address each other with the words of the grace. We say together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you.